the Quran has used different words for Qiyamah. One is Qiyamah itself, as we know it. One is Sa'ah. One is Yawmul Jama'ah. Jama'ah, the day everybody will be assembled. Awwalin, Akhirin. One is Yawmul Taghabun. Taghabun means loss and gain. Zuhud or Ziya means loss and gain. Someone is winning on that day and someone is losing. One name is Yawmul Hasra. Hasra is the day of regrets. For the kafir, it will be a day of regrets through and through. There's no two ways about it. But for the mu'min also, or for many a mu'min, it also will be a day of regrets. As the hadith says, that there will be no regrets for a mu'min, but for that moment that was passed, without the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Now he sees this person has caught so much, he gained so much, and I lost out. So though he's getting into Jannah, but for that moment he's going to have some grief and pain. And had I just used my time, then I could have gained so much. So one name is Hasrat. One name is Qari'ah. Qari'ah means to knock. So that knocking sound until the whole earth is crushed. Skies are all split. Mountains are crushed. Al-Qari'ah. One is Al-Haqqah. Haqqah is the true reality. Ultimate reality. What we see here in this world compared to Qiyamah is like a dream. That's why that's called a reality. This is just like a dream. Because if someone is, say, 70 years of age now, 75 years of age, then if he thinks of his past 75 years, is it anything more than a dream? Nothing more than a dream. You can say, I did this and achieved this, but all in the past class. So therefore, the Qiyamah is known as Al-Haqqah. So there's different names in the Quran that's used to show Qiyamah. And what we want to discuss now is Hasra, Yawmul Hasra, Anzirum Yawmul Azifati. Azifa, the day that is approaching. And Yawm al-Hasrati is Qudiyya al-Amr, when the decision is taken. Imagine now, we all assemble there and the decision is taken. Yeah, right, move on to Jannah. Imagine that time, it's like a breath, you're holding your breath at that time. You know where you're going to be landing, this side or that side. Right. And there Allah Ta'ala is bringing death in the form of a lamb, and he's slaughtering it. And then he says to the Ahl al-Jannah, Abadan, Lamut, and the people of Jahannam, you also continue and there's no death. Can you imagine now what will be the level of the grief of the Jahannami at that time? And the state of the happiness, that there's no death now. You already got it and no death. It's just enjoyment and enjoyment and enjoyment, continuous and perpetual. Imagine now what it will be like. So what do we do to avoid all these regrets? That's the important thing. What do we do to avoid all these regrets? The Surah Al-Asr has got all. That's what you need to do. Put all these things in place, and you won't have regrets. The day of Qiyamah is also known as Sa'a. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. So now, when that moment comes, then how do we avoid? Before that moment comes, what should we do to avoid any regrets? It's just happiness and happiness. In fact, Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he would pass Qabr and he would cry most profusely, more than he was reminded about. Jannat and Jahannam would cry at a grave. They would ask him, but why so much at the grave and not so much at the mention of Jannat and Jahannam? So this is the first stop. If someone came right here, then all other stops are right. But if he failed here, then it's a massive problem. That's the first stop. So this reality, this Qiyamah. Now what has happened in this day is that deliberately this Qiyamah, belief of Qiyamah has been deliberately deleted. In a secular school, do you ever hear them talking about Qiyamah? Do you ever hear of them reminding you of Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala and Qiyamah is out of the equation. They have done that now deliberately. Why? The question is, why have they removed it? See, when all the things are in place, then the man travels very well balanced. Qiyamah, Jannat, Jahannam. He's got dunya before him, but he's got all these facts before him. So he's a balanced person. But if he doesn't have Allah Ta'ala, doesn't have Qiyamah, then will there be a perfect balance in him? There's an imbalance. Now he thinks it's just dunya, nothing beyond dunya. So when he thinks that nothing beyond dunya, then he goes crazy, does things, everything and anything he'll do. Nothing to stop him, because he doesn't have the thought that there's going to be a thing like reckoning, Allah Ta'ala is watching, Malaika recording, there's Jannat, there's Jahannam. So that doesn't feature in his life. When it doesn't feature in his life, then anything to motivate him to Jannat, anything to stop him from Jahannam, nothing. Because it doesn't exist in his life. He removes it. So they have to remove it. Why they have to remove it? Because they are promoting secularism, right? They are promoting that. Secularism, in other words, materialism. How to multiply, how to just grow. So if you talking of Qiyamah, then that is like stopping this. You're talking of death, you're talking of Malaika recording, you're talking of standing before Allah Ta'ala. So all that is stopping the progress of materialism, that material growth. So therefore they have to take it out. They have to take out Allah Ta'ala and they have to take out Qiyamah from the whole equation. They felt now, if this won't happen, then come right. But you don't realize that anything that Allah Ta'ala has created and made, if you are going to try to replace it or remove it, then you will compound and confuse your mind. Your mind will be more and more confused. Compounded, right? Look at it now. If there is an accident, every person will feel hurt or it's an accident. But there can be a person who doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala and a person who believes in Allah Ta'ala. The person that doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala, then his mind will take him in a circle. This person was driving wild, therefore this happened. Or my so-and-so died in this accident because of this person. So he can't overcome that memory. So his mind will keep taking him. Had he not driven like that, he would have died. He would have died, the man would have been with us. you know, how much of joy there would have been, could have enjoyed from that person. Now the joy came to an end because of this person's recklessness. So now he goes in a circle. And can he come out from the circle? Can't come out. But the person that believes in Allah Ta'ala says, well, we are distressed about the loss, but we also believe in taqdeer, that it had to happen, it happened. There is Allah, and Allah Pak makes a itinerary plan for you, and you have to move with that plan. You can't avoid that plan. مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِيَكَ وَمَا أَخْتَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُسِيبَكَ. So it's a plan that Allah Pak had worked out. So the plan came, so you have to. So everything will come within that plan. It's not that you will not take your necessary precaution, but you know how it's Allah Ta'ala who's planning. So even if it's a virus, you will take your precaution. If it comes, you take it in the stride. Hey, now, virus happened, virus. Just the thought makes you mad. You're thinking, well, that person was not taking precaution because of him not taking precaution. Therefore, this thing had to happen. And now, what's going to happen now? So he can't sleep, he can't eat, he can't talk, he can't enjoy nothing. But you believe that everything happens by the will of Allah Ta'ala, nothing is beyond the will of Allah Ta'ala. But is there anything to really worry about, anything to stress about? Right? Future will take a little bit more precautions. That's enough. But more than that, see, so when they took it out from the equation, they created more and more anxiety, confusion. Therefore, then they had to introduce psychiatrists and psychologists. Because now, what must they do now with their lives? Thought side is having the bit over them. So then they take them to the psychologist or psychiatrist. He'll put you into an antidepressant just to cool you off. If you forget, again it'll come up again. But you have to increase the dosage all the time until you become a cabbage. So, this is that circular life. And we say now, there is Allah Ta'ala, there is Qiyamah. There is Allah Ta'ala, there is a Qiyamah. So even if a person is distressed, he'll think to himself, see, the distress that I'm going through, by, number one, it's by the will of Allah Ta'ala. And for every second of the pain, I'm getting credit, I'm getting some reward, right? Right? And number three is, he'll also have it, that there'll be an end to this problem. So he'll have these two things. His will is decreed by Allah Ta'ala. For every second in the pain, provided I'm making sabr, this reward. And number three, it's going to be an end. So he won't be so troubled. No matter what he's going through, he'll be in pain, but he'll know it's the will of Allah Ta'ala. He'll know there's sawab for it. He'll know there's an end to it. Right? See, a person is working in his business, right? And he's working very hard. And you go and tell him, no, why are you struggling like this? What's wrong with you? Why are you suffering like this? You come so early in the shop and you leave so late. You come to the business, come to the site so early and you leave so late. Go and park, go and have a good rest. So the one that is discouraging him from going to the shop with his business or to his office, he will count him to be his worst enemy. I'm progressing, I'm doing so well, and this person is jealous of me. Outwardly it seems that he's suffering, but he knows every moment that he's ticking, and he's getting credited, he's getting credited. He'll see the rewards at the end of the month, or at the end of the week, he'll see the rewards of it. This person that is taunting him now, he'll be in problem at that time, when he's getting paid out. So the mu'min has that in life, in his mind, that this is going to happen, it's a reality. And for every moment of difficulty I'm going through, I'm going to get some reward. So now, this whole life is aimed, is how do we avoid that hasrat, that regrets. So the surah has got it all, but this is how you're going to avoid all the regrets. The first will be iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So without that iman, nothing can work. No matter how much of humanitarian work you have done. One sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, my father died and he made a bequest. that 100 camels must be given in his path. The name of Allah Ta'ala must be given. So the Nabi Sallam asked him, your father died in Islam or he died without Islam? So he's dedicated 100 camels in the path of Allah Ta'ala, from which 50 the other brother he already slaughtered and gave out in the name of Allah Ta'ala, right? And before this other brother can give out the 50, when it asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my brother, this is what he did and this was the will of my father. So Nabi Sallam asked him, but did he have iman?
No.
Then it's of no use. La yughni anhum shay'a. Of no use, whatever. So without iman you can't get any credit. Like, imagine someone printed a banknote, printed it, but without the stamp of the Reserve Bank. Can he get anything for it? It's identical, everything, but he doesn't have the stamp of the Reserve Bank. Anything. Does he get anything? In fact, they'll get charged. Counterfeit, isn't it? Get charged. So, iman is the stamp. Once you got the stamp, otherwise both are the same, the paper is the same, the man and land is outwardly the same, but he has got the divine stamp and this person doesn't have the stamp. Hazrat Shah Abdul Quddus Rahmatullahi, one Khalifa was Hazrat Jalaluddin. There was his one Khalifa. Thanis, I don't know, it's Thanisri or something. So, he was a great alim, great faqih, Mufti Sahib. So, one of the Shah of the Quddus Sahibs, one of his murids, for Islah, etc., he would go to Hazrat Shah Sahib, Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib. Fatwa Masla, he would go to Jalaluddin Thanesri. So, in that day, it was like that. People had a good understanding of Deen. So, they don't say, they won't think now, hey, he's my Shaykh, I must ask everything. Right. But he's more equipped for this, and he's better equipped for this. So, there was a balance, they had understanding. Now when there's an imbalance, this is where everything goes off. In the meanwhile, when he would go to receive some type of fatwa or some guidance on any dini issue to Hazrat Jalaluddin Thanesri Rahmatullahi, so Jalaluddin would ask him, tere nachaniya sheikh ka kya hal hai? Your nachaniya, your dancing sheikh, like, he must be like shaking, making zikr. You know, you swing your head. So he called that dancing, see. On the murid side, he found it very difficult. The reason why he found it difficult is, my shaykh is being taunted here. But I can't leave this man here because otherwise how am I going to get my maslahs done? So I need him as well. He would feel upset, but remain quiet. Nonetheless, since old people, the balance they had, understanding, there's a lot to learn from them. Last time we spoke about one up Padia. 50 years, one place he stuck. Allah showed him. Other offers came in, you know, he stuck to one place, and may Allah Pak accept him, give him the good of the hereafter. But the commitment, sticking, consistency right throughout the life, right? And the simplicity, like the day he moved to Stanger, from that day to the end, it's the same. So now he can't leave his Sheikh Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib, and he can't leave Jalaluddin Thanesri Sahib, that is the faqih and the Mufti Sahib, he can't leave both. But now he's feeling very much distressed. One day he went and reported the whole thing to the Sheikh, and this was happening. So when he reported it to the Sheikh, well, the Sheikh said, alright, now if, in future if he says something like this, so you must say, وہ خود ناچتے ہیں اور نچاتے بھی ہیں. He also dances, but he makes other dances. Anyway, came here, and this person had to start him again. When he started him again, so he said, وہ خود ناچتا ہے اور دوسرے کو بھی نچاتا ہے. He dances himself, and he gets others to dance. When he had to say this, this person, he, according to a craze, he's jumping. He can't resist. See that excitement, he's jumping. Anyway, he couldn't hold himself, he had to go to Shahabdul Quddus Sabra until Allah Pak made him one of the best Khalifas of the Shahabdul Quddus Sabra. Shahabdul Quddus Sabra was so great, the Hadith Sabra used to say that if I find any problem, then I refer to this Masnavi Maulana Rum. And Maulana Rui Sabra used to say that when I find a problem, then I refer to Shahabdul Quddus, his kitabs. I find an exit. Here they find an exit here, so he was so great. His Shahabdul Quddus' zikr used to start from after Isha, ending up in the morning. So this Shah Jalaluddin Thanesi, he escalated also very well. There's two incidents I will show you about him. So he saw that there was a big crowd in his town. So he asked him, ye kya ho raha hai? Ki Hindu ka mela hai. It's a fair. The Hindus have a fair, so many people have crowded. So he said, kya hota hai? What happens there? He says, one Hindu comes to the scene and he says something and he strikes his foot. The earth opens out, he dives in, and then he'll reappear 100 meters from that point where he went in. No, take me to that point. So as he struck the feet and he went inside, Jalaluddin Sahib just put his foot there. Now they're waiting for him to re-emerge. And nothing happening, they're waiting. So he's alright. He says to them, just dig at this spot. They dug, they found him dead. Now, the question now, will this be called murder? Because he put his foot. So, will this be called murder? Because at that time, India was Darul Islam, right? And in Darul Islam, a Zimmi has got a right. When a Zimmi has got a right, and now you did this, and this person is put away. So, you will say there's two things in Islam. One is hudud, right? Corporal punishment. And one is siyasatan. Ta'zir, but siyasatan. So siyasatan, ta'zir, is permissible when you know the amount of mischief this person is making, that the unwary can be turned towards Hinduism, towards the wrong, right? His faith can be shaken up, so this person is dangerous. So the better thing is just put him away. So it wasn't a wrong, you see. Now, at that point, hundreds of people accepted Islam, you see. So the same, I think it was the same, Jalaluddin Thanesi, rahmatullahi. So, there's a big Hindu festival. So he asked one, two of his people, go and see what's there. Koi kaam ke aadmi koi milta hai. Can you find someone that is capable, you know, you find some potential in him. So they went around, they saw ek aadmi hai, bade kaam ke aadmi hai. So he's a very potential person, you can get some work out of him. So Jalaluddin went in, met up with him. So now, you can see now each can make out okay, what the other person is like. So the Jalaluddin, from the unseen, he pulled out a fruit. This Hindu also, he pulled out a fruit from the unseen to show that we are on the same wavelength. He pulled out a knife. This person also pulled out a knife. Alright. Jalaluddin now, rahmatullahi, he slit one of his arteries and poured the blood in some container. Right. So this Hindu did the same. Jalaluddin now took the blood and he buried it into the ground, and this person did the same. Now they're sitting there, as they're sitting there, so Hazrat Jalaluddin Sahib tells the Hindu, take out your blood. So he took out his blood, smelling, stinking, full of worms. Now you take out your blood, took out his blood, it's like saffron, musk, too beautiful. Fragrance is too much. So Hazrat Jalaluddin explained to the Hindu, now see, on the surface of the earth we seem to be the same. We seem to be the same. But you don't have the papers and the documents for the next realm. In this world, everything chal raha hai, everything is happening. The documents are counterfeit. You'll only get to know that that is counterfeit once you hit the grave. And you see, my blood, and when it came out, it's musk and zafran. So it's got an excess underneath. It's got an excess and underneath is recognized. When it's recognized, so this is how it turned out to be. Now, the question that we ask nowadays, why these things don't happen nowadays? That's the question, right? So this is another way of da'wah. You see that tabligh we do now, this is one way of da'wah, right? So in different eras, different approaches were required for doing da'wah. Sometimes this type of karamat were required. Sometimes the movement of the jamaat was required. So whatever was required at that time, Allah Ta'ala allowed that to happen. In one safar, Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi, according to an English writer, I read this one, English writer, he's right. In one safar, 9 million people accepted Islam. We're talking of India now, about 800-900 years ago, when the population must have been much more or less, right? Right? So if 9 million people had accepted Islam in one safar, then you can imagine each person represents so many children, wife, woman, all that, right? So many people accepted Islam, right? Number one. Number two, then, if 9 million people accepted, then number two, it changed the demographics of India. Number three, amongst them, so many people must have been Hufaz, Ulama, Qurra, Mashaykh, etc., all produce of that one. So we don't need to ask the question why this type of karamat are not happening today. So the approach that is required in this day, then Allah Ta'ala will inspire the hearts that you will do the da'wah in the way I show you in this day. Otherwise, you have this type of a mind, then you can't progress. No, I want it to be that way, then I'll do work. So then you can't work. So the work that is in vogue nowadays, work with that system, and you'll see things happening, like you saw karamat there, you'll see karamats now here as well. Yesterday I explained that incident, that the jamaat is moving in a pure, circular, materialistic world, ultimate, that is Japan now. And as they're moving, there's no place for them to be staying the night. And this monk, Buddhist monk, he invites them. So we can't stay here because there are statues. So now I'll take it to another side. No, I saw you people coming in the form of my gods. So I must entertain you. He converted, about 300 of his following accepted. But now, this is Isn't it more like a karamat? Okay, his heart was affected, his following was affected, he allowed them to stay in the place that they would consider to be the most like sanctified. See? But in just one safar, and this happened. Now, this happens when, see, the essence here is that you will work according to the guidelines and the teaching of your elders. Your elders give you certain, they give certain mamulat, certain approach, certain way to follow. You follow that, then it will bring that results. Because then it will mean that the headquarters are supporting you. With their du'as, with the inspiration, they are supporting you. But if it is they packed something else in you, and you're doing your own thing now. Now you, like as though you said, well, your people's things are good, but this may be even better. So mentally you've cut yourself. So when you cut yourself, you don't have the same inspiration, and you don't have the same power now. So to get that power, you need to be on the same wavelength. You corrected that side. You're doing that zikr, you're doing whatever ma'amulah they're giving you, the guidelines, the hidayah they're giving you. Do it like this, don't do it like this. You're doing it in that way, so it will bring about that type of results. No matter which part of the world, but the headquarters are telling you, do it like this. But they're supporting you with their dua. They're supporting you with the tawajjuh. Everything is supporting you, but you do it according to how they have guided you. That's a very important thing. It may seem to be small, but the whole secret of this work here depends, are you connected to the powerhouse? You're connected to the powerhouse, and you're receiving. Not connected, then you're doing your own thing. No matter how good it may seem to be, but are you connected? So the connection is very, very important. One Arab, I met him in Bombay, Quokka Bazaar. There were some students with me sometime, many, many years back. So, after Fajr, he wanted to speak to me, taking a small walk. So he's talking to me, says that, I see all works of deen that are coming out from India are prosperous. Madrasas, any part of the world, you see Yobl's madrasa there. You know, the type of madrasa that run from India and Pakistan right through the world. You know, Nizam-e-Darsi, the same Nizam running any part of the world, same. It's coming from India and Pakistan, it's running. Go to America, you find the same thing. Go to Australia, you find the same thing. England, the same thing. Any part of Africa, you find the same thing. But that same system that's coming from here has spread, it's made its network right throughout the world. So it started here and there. They spread out. Then you look at the Khanka work, again from India, starting of India, Pakistan, covering the whole world. Then you look at Jamaat work, India, Pakistan, and it's covering the entire world, whole world. So it's going like this because of the allegiance to the powerhouse. Now you don't find any other movement that is so international. You may find, but in one pocket here, someone is doing something here. But to have something that's going internationally, global, you know, then it's this type of. So, because they are connected to the powerhouse, and they're working with Mashwara, they're finding out, and they're working, they're finding out, and they're working, so they're getting that type of results. See? So this is that secret for their prosperity and for them continuing. See, in this now, you need to humble yourself. I can't do anything of my own. So, the backbone of this type of effort is two things. One is, no matter how intelligent you are, you won't use your own mind. You got some elders who refer to them. So that's one backbone, right? So you will humble yourself. You're intelligent now, you are a professor, you are a doctor, but I still need to go to the powerhouse, to the headquarters, find out from them how to operate. I can't do my own thing. And I have to take it, I have to embrace it with happiness, not grudgingly. You know, I have to go back and ask them. You're not going to do that. They're going to ask, they're going to tell you, you'll take it, happily embrace it wholeheartedly. So that's the backbone. Number two is equally important, is this work here doesn't have any commercial gain. You're not doing this work for a commercial gain. So any other work, no commercial gain. I ask you to do a program, come and do a program here, or it takes my time and effort, so what are you going to give me for that? How am I going to get remunerated, my time, my petrol, my motor car, and all that. So before we confirm anything, so we're looking at the remuneration. And the seniority jamaat, any commercial gain? Bi amwalihim wa anfusihim, your time and your wealth. So there's no commercial gain, nothing, absolutely. The work purely for Allah Ta'ala and as per the mashwara of the elders. So you got your elder, you will embrace them, the hidayat, wholeheartedly. And there will be nothing, no personal gain. See, and then this line here is approximately, in fact, in all Anbiya alayhi wasalam. See the line coming out so clearly. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. In Shu'ara, Surah Shura, every Nabi, there is Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Shu'ayb, ma asalukum alayhi. Allah could have said, all of them, all of us, la nas'alukum alayhi ajra. But he repeats it so many times he repeats it. Nabi Sallam himself said, ma asalukum alayhi min ajr illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. Doesn't he say, ma asalukum alayhi illa, I don't want anything. Yes, you must recognize that I've got family ties with you. So family ties is an accepted thing in your community. It's an accepted thing that you show that respect. So why should I be removed from this? So there's no type of material, no material. The material wasn't the motivator. So one is work with mashwara. So see that ma asalukum alayhi min ajr, no commercial gain. Ittabi'u man la yasalukum ajra wa hum muhtadun. You're on path, you're on cause. So they're taking the cause from the center and they're moving. See, you're on cause. They're not off cause. So you got these two things, you're on cause and there's no commercial gain, then you're alright. But if it is that Allah Pak forbid, if you start off with commercial gains, and you're not working with that central mashwara, then there's going to be some problems. So that you need a central mashwara, and you can't be working with any type of commercial gains. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. That will bring humility, it will bring conformity, it will bring unison, right? And apart from everything else, everybody feels that I am indebted to the work, I'm not an independent person. See? Otherwise, I can give a very good bayan. So I say, I'm independent. Jamaat wants to use me, they can use me, But they know how powerful I am. They know what a power pack I am, see. So his nazar will be on himself. And here now, I am dependent on the Jamaat. If they ask me just to be a rehbar, I'll do the rehbari. They ask me now today that you must stay in zikr, I'll do that. Tomorrow I give a bayan, I'll do that. And wholeheartedly, I won't say, put me for the bayan, put me up for the bayan, put me up. I will not say that. They need me to give the bayan, I'll do it. To sit in zikr, I will do it. I must read the kitab talim, I'll do that. So now the barakah comes when you are listening. And if you don't listen proportionately, then you're losing. It may seem that the delivery was too beautiful, right? Everybody was praising you. But you didn't listen. So when you didn't listen, now you don't get that type of results. So the اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. So you see, this work is in the I think it was about 1983 or something, Mona Musa Samrodi, he came to my place. He just stayed about 1 or 2 weeks. One of the elders in Nizamuddin. So he says, Aapko malum hai jamaat ka kaam kya hai? Ab bataiye. Now he saw Mona Musa Samrodi, and at that time it was about the elders in Nizamuddin. Passed away over, must have been over 90 when he passed away. So he says, no, ye to chalta phirta khanqa aur madrasa hai. Kya? Chalta phirta khanqa aur madrasa hai. It's a mobile madrasa and khanqa. But all the elements that are in the khanqa is there. But get up for tahajjud. Do your ma'mulat, your zikr. Right? See that you're following the adab. Follow this headquarters. Humble yourself. Follow the mashwara. Don't do your own thing. Don't be an independent entity. See, everything that is found in the khanqa is found here. Don't have an independent attitude. Subject yourself. See, the problem comes when you don't subject yourself. Subject yourself, so you're linked up. You're linked up, you're getting the same power. So you're working one blow. At the end, see, because now you, then it will amount to you working as though you are one jamaat. Internationally, you're one jamaat. When internationally, you're one jamaat, if you, provided you're working like this, right? Then, you're working from one headquarter, one Amir, right? And you're doing as the Amir is saying. So the one that brought in 1,000 people, and the one that brought one person, will get the same reward. Because they want, it's just one group. They're all working with one mashwara, one guidance. Then the example for this will be an ijtima, right? So one person is in the tashkil term, one is the cooking, one is in the security, one is giving the bayan, right? Now the bayan time, he managed to get 1,000 people. But I ask you, the tashkil tent, the cooking, security, won't they get also the same sawab? Why? Because all joined hands for this result to come in, all joined hands. And they dedicated themselves to the mashwara. Mashwara said, do this. When they gave themselves, and there was no commercial gain. So provided no commercial gain, and you bow down to the mashwara with respect, with dignity and respect, right? All the humility, right? Followed it. So as the results will come, all will get the same reward. See how this thing is a chalta, phirta, madrasa or khanqa. It's a mobile madrasa and a khanqa. But this is the two elements that are required. Now, proportion to how much you miss out this thing here, then the goodness and the blessings also begin to decrease. You're listening to them, then the blessings grow. And you don't listen, then the blessings begin to decrease. So we're talking about Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regrets. Yawm al-Taghabun, Harjit. Harjit. Harjit means loss and gain, right? So Qiyamah is a day of loss and gain. So the first thing on to be on course is Iman. Get the Iman right. If the Iman is right, everything else goes right. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That is why Allah Pak starts off with Iman. And when I look at things in this day and time, I think the greatest need is on Iman and Yaqeen, to get your Yaqeen right. If that Yaqeen is right, everything moves to right. It works well. Your Yaqeen is right. Now, just think now. You think to yourself, right, that I need to confirm the job here, right? And this person is a contact person, right? So I will go and curry favor with him, or pamper him, do everything. So he is the person that will secure me the job, right? He's got so much of trust in the person that if I work with him, I'll get the job. Or it's a business I'll get. I'll be so good with him so I can gain that business. But if that iman and yaqeen is right, say, no, you do your ishraq namaz, then Allah Pak will see you all your needs for the day. So where's your yaqeen now? Your yaqeen is in that ishraq namaz. You'll so much of yaqeen and you'll ask Allah Ta'ala. That person's yaqeen is in the person, his yaqeen is in Allah Ta'ala. It's not that he will not use the contact, but he will have that yaqeen, if Allah Pak wills, it will happen. And I need to knock the door of Allah Ta'ala. So see how the yaqeen changes everything. If the yaqeen is there, like, you know, that for example, the hadith says, An-nazru sahmun masmumun min sihami iblis, right? That sensual glances is a poisonous, iblis poisonous arrow. Right? Poisonous iblis arrow, right? Right, that's what the hadith say. So you know, if a poison gets you, what happens to you? See this virus now, how people react. Topi wala, kurta wala, tari wala, anybody. See someone, he's positive, huh? He's positive. You sit next to him. Tell me the truth. Huh? Why? Because of the virus, right? And it's not confirmed that you must contact. You can, but not confirmed, right? But by the same token, so much of yaqeen on the virus and whatever stories you got. Do you have the yaqeen that an-nazru sahmun masmumun min sihami iblis? When you check that, whatever you're seeing, porn, whatever, right? Whatever wrong you looked. Do you have that level of yaqeen? Did you go and quarantine yourself for 14 days or 21 days after seeing the thing? You're seeing and seeing and going on seeing until you became obscene. Isn't it a fact? On that side, you were so scared that whatever they're saying, you got that yaqeen. And whatever they're saying is coming from kuffar, right? So in the kuffar, you got so much of yaqeen. But Hazrat Nabi Sallam is saying, this is a poison that has entered you now. Sahmun masmumun min sihami iblis. Shaitanic poisonous arrow got you. Do you have the type of concern? So that means yaqeen can come here. Yaqeen is not right. So if your yaqeen was right, then you would have responded something differently. Because your yaqeen is not right, so you can have all the yaqeen on the kuffar. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's alright now, you know, that's in his place now. But this is a reality. How you say? Na'uzu billah. That means what you're talking about, hadith, is not a reality. What is that? See that? So that's what they're saying, that get your yaqeen right. Allah maktofi nasib kare.